One day recently, I came into the house in the middle of a movie that Tom was watching. The movie was not particularly deep or thought-provoking, but there had to be a plot line to accompany the massive explosions and seemingly never-endless gunfire. For a few minutes, I did my best to catch on to what was going on. But the violence kept building on itself, each new killing worse than the last, each explosion more loud and bitter, and just more explosive. I never caught on to the storyline or plot, then though it may have been. And as I thought about the gospel reading for today and so many of the conversations we're brought into between Jesus and his followers, I wonder if we don't experience them in much the same way. And I wondered if the followers of Christ didn't experience his words in much the same way. So often the words of Jesus are clouded by parable. He begs his hearers to go deeper, to search harder for the meaning that upon first hearing is less than clear. Today is a really good example of that. Folks have gone to worship at the festival, not just the regular folks we'd expect, the good Jewish worshipers, but also some curious Greeks. The Greeks go to Philip from Galilee and tell him they would like to see or meet with Jesus. Philip tells Andrew, and they both go to find Jesus and let him know of the inquisitors. Rather than saying, "Great, I'd love to meet with these Greeks," or even, "Guys, I'm up to my eyeballs and lepers right now. Could you tell them to come back a little later?" Rather than saying anything remotely sensible to Philip and Andrew, telling Jesus that there's some Greek guys outside who'd like to talk to him, he goes into a mini monologue about grain and wheat. He says something really odd about, if you love your life, you'll lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And Philip and Andrew must be quizzically staring at each other, wondering where the point of this is going and what it has to do with the Greek guys who want to talk to Jesus. Is it that the teaching opportunities are coming to an end? And Jesus wants to take every single chance he has to help those who will take up the ministry after he is gone. Does this story have anything at all to do with the Greeks at the door? Jesus continues talking to Andrew and Philip. At least it seems that way from the information we have. We don't know if the Greek men ever got an audience with Jesus, but we can be pretty certain that those who were gathered around Jesus that day left that place awestruck and perhaps entirely baffled. Jesus is trying desperately to warn those around him of what will take place in the days to come. He knows his life on earth, his mortal existence, is coming to an end. He's trying to demonstrate this reality to those around him, but that reality is too far removed from their anticipation, from their expectation of what will happen. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be a part of the crowd that day? What was that sound? Thunder? No, an angel. Really? How often have you heard angels? Much less angels that sound like thunder. What is he talking about, being raised up? He's not making any sense. All this talk about darkness and light, has he gotten into the new wine? He's got to be overly tired. All this traveling and healing and preaching must be getting to him. He's not making any sense. These followers had to be perplexed to the point of feeling baffled. But they weren't used to questioning. The crowds were accustomed to doing as they were told by the temple leaders. Questioning those authority was not an acceptable practice. it certainly wasn't encouraged. So rather than asking Jesus exactly what he meant, they remained silent. And as the days went on, life became more and more bizarre and unexpected for those who followed Jesus. Paul, long after the crucifixion and resurrection, is still trying to explain the unusual nature of the reality of Christ. In the context in the world in which he lived, he described the message of the cross as foolishness to those who are perishing, but as the power of God to us who are being saved, which are presumably those who understand that Christ has given his life in the most outlandish act of love. Paul acknowledges how difficult it is to understand the full meaning of the crucifixion and resurrection when looking with the eyes of the culture. He acknowledges that a Messiah that would die and a God that would be crucified is foolish in the eyes of the world in which he lives. And then he turns that very thought upside down. He says that to us it seems foolish because we're judging this event with the eyes of the world. But if we broaden our horizon and look with the eyes of God and see the work of God, we can get a glimmer of the amazing depth and breadth of the wisdom of God. One who uses the very things we think of as foolish and ridiculous to show his strength and his wisdom. And once again, we might find ourselves like those listening to Jesus that afternoon as he tried so hard to forewarn of the days to come. They were listening with closed ears. They were limiting the possibilities to what they experienced and what they believed to be true and predictable. In this week, we walk with Jesus the way to the cross. It is a long and arduous journey. It is a difficult and demanding path. If we are limited by our expectations and our preconceived notions about what this week will entail, we are sure to miss something. We're brought into this story, but we need not be lost. If we open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, there is no limit to what we will learn. With God, all things are possible. His foolish is wiser than human wisdom, and his weakness is stronger than human strength. There are no limits with God. Amen.